Drive a Chevy 'cause he drove Chevys. Like him, I'm a baseball fan. I'm going back to see him while he still knows who I am.
Welcome.
Mama says
this is Dr. Steve Nurse. And this is our next series of Is Abled, and it's a series on dementia and Alzheimer's. And what we would like to do here is let you know what you need to know about dementia and Alzheimer's disease. The series is 6 episodes, and we will discuss both dementia and Alzheimer's disease. The main person interviewed is Brad Tyson. Dr. Brad Tyson has been a clinical neuropsychologist since 2014 and specializes in cognitive assessment. He has clinical and research interests in dementia, traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, substance abuse, chronic pain, and general medical disorders associated with cognitive impairment. He was trained in neuropsychology and neuroimaging research at Dartmouth Medical Center in New Hampshire. He currently works for the Eastside Neuroscience Institute at Evergreen and Overlake Medical Centers. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is our 5th episode of the series on dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, my guest host here and highly paid consultant, Dr. Brad Tyson, is with us to talk about some of the issues of dementia. And one of the things we'd like to talk about in this episode is treatments that are available for dementia. We know that right now there's nothing we can really do to reverse it, but certainly having proper treatments are going to help us through this process, probably both for the person with dementia and the family. Is that fair to say?
Well, you know, I don't know when I'm expected to receive the checks from this series, radio series. Highly paid consultant. I wasn't aware of that.
You're earning twice my salary now. Yeah, so,
Well, it's
and 4 times Rick.
Well, it's an exciting time to be in the neurosciences in general and studying the treatment of dementia specifically. You know, as you said, at this point, treatments for most dementias are symptomatic. You know, you take a drug to help support memory, or you take, this drug to, help with any mood-related symptoms. You take this drug for motor symptoms or psychosis. But, we're on the verge of significant disease-modifying treatments. So, someday, hopefully soon, we will have something that can help reverse dementia. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting closer. And let me talk about, the emerging treatments for Alzheimer's disease in particular. So the first drug approved to treat dementia is a drug used in Alzheimer's disease, the listeners may know, called donepezil or Aricept. And it's still used widely today. And I think it was improved in 1996, but it's what's called a cholinesterase inhibitor. So it slows down an enzyme that breaks down acetylcholine. So acetylcholine is a neurotransmitter involved in memory. And this, in turn increases levels of this memory chemical. So donepezil or Aricept may slow memory loss, but it's still a symptomatic treatment. It doesn't slow progression of the disease process. So since 1996, nothing better has been developed, okay? Nothing for 25 years. In 2021, the FDA approved the first amyloid monoclonal antibody treatment for Alzheimer's called aducanumab. So this is a drug that targets one of the pathological causes of Alzheimer's disease, so it actually removes amyloid from the brain. But the approval of this drug was very controversial, and so only one of the two clinical trials testing its safety and efficacy in human subjects yielded positive results. And the FDA approved the drug on the basis of that single study through an accelerated approval process in which treatments such as treatments for Alzheimer's disease meeting an unmet clinical need can receive this sort of expedited approval.
Well, and also, I think this makes sense to me, is that you're also getting a lot of, I mean, FDA is a governmental agency or the, you know, and you're also getting a lot of pressure from the public,
right,
who is saying, you know, I don't care what it does. But,
give it to me.
But I'm, you know, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. You know, we're having all these different problems. We'll be in a trial. Right. We'll do anything if we can, if there's any possible chance.
Well, so there's some problems with this drug, and we can talk about why it got approved. I mean, you know, a lot of people were pretty upset about this getting approved, a lot of people who worked for the FDA. And, you know, it makes sense that it was approved in some way. I mean, the idea was that it would open the door for new similar sorts of therapeutics to come along. And that's indeed what has happened. So like I said, there's some problems with this drug. It's an infusion therapy, so you have to go to the hospital to get the infusion every couple weeks. You need to be monitored closely because there's a relatively high risk, 10 to 15% of serious side effects. And worst of all, you know, and why people are upset is that even though the drug can remove amyloid from the brain, which is pretty remarkable, it doesn't seem to really improve memory a whole lot. So, I mean, that's the outcome that we're trying to affect, of course.
Is it because maybe the those portions in the brain that the plaque is being removed from are already damaged?
Right. Yeah, that's what it seems to be. So, indeed, a second one of these drugs came out, lecanemab, and this was approved in January of this year. And it's, you know, is approved via the same accelerated approval pathway and then fully approved in July 2023. And this drug has similar problems like the need for infusion and need for monitoring of potential side effects, but seems to be associated with better cognitive outcomes. And now we're on our third iteration of these monoclonal antibodies, donanemab, which completed a successful phase 3 clinical trial and is awaiting more safety data. So, you know, hopefully this drug will be better than its predecessors and subsequent drugs will be, you know, even more safe and more effective.
Is this the one we were talking about earlier today, that you mentioned that...
I think we were talking about lecanemab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so that's one that we're starting to offer at our center, right? And so you need a big medical center to actually offer the drug, and you need to have, you know, all of these, you know, inclusion criteria to be able to even
use. Is there
a
limited number of people that it's given to? I mean, do you have a...
Yeah, I mean, really, it's for the people in the earliest stages of Alzheimer's disease, and it has to be confirmed by a biomarker. And so either they have mild neurocognitive disorder due to Alzheimer's disease, or they have mild dementia due to Alzheimer's disease, and these are the best candidates for it. Because again, the earlier, the better. The earlier you can sort of intervene here, the better off, you know, the outcomes will be.
And is it, I'm assuming it's probably pretty expensive.
Yeah, it can be. You know, so it is being approved, you know, by, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, but it's still quite expensive. And there is some ongoing, you know, concerns about how much will be approved and you know, other issues related to that. But, I mean, I guess the important thing here to say is that no new Alzheimer's drugs, for no new good ones, for 25 years. And now we are on the verge of three drugs approved in the past couple years. And like I said, research into the diagnosis of treatment and you know, diagnosis and treatment of dementia is progressing exponentially, right? So at this rate, I think we will have not just new therapeutics, but cures for the most common forms of dementia in the next 10 to 20 years, okay?
And, you know. And also interesting that when we talk about AI being involved in going through so many tests that, you know, that could, you know, like in COVID, and how quickly we got a, you know, a vaccine out for that. Maybe this would...
Well, we've spent a lot of time and resources into studying Alzheimer's disease because that's the most common form of dementia. So that's why we're seeing the, you know, advanced therapeutics coming out first for Alzheimer's disease. But I mean, we have other interesting drug trials going on in different, you know, forms of neurodegenerative diseases and dementias. There's a drug trial going on right now looking at stem cell treatments for Parkinson's disease. And in these studies, stem cells are injected directly into the brains of individuals with Parkinson's disease with very promising results. And there's other studies looking at treatments to interrupt the expression of certain genes involved in dementia. And, you know, the holy grail of these dementia treatment studies is to find a drug that repairs the brain and reverses dementia, or, you know, even better, a preventative therapeutic, you know, like a vaccine to stop dementia before it starts. And honestly, you know, like you said, how quickly the research is sort of progressing at this point, I don't think these treatments are very far in the future.
Yeah, that's just, and I'm sure for some people that's just really good news. I mean... it's so devastating. I mean, when I talk to the woman that I, and I won't, you know, give her name here, but, you know, she's doing caregiving for her husband with dementia. And it sounds to me like it has really a big effect on not just spouses or children, but that whole extended family.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's got to be tough.
And care partner stress is a real thing. It's pretty significant. It can be devastating when we talk about stress being associated with an increased risk of dementia, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about stressors really affecting how somebody operates in their day-to-day functioning.
Yeah.
And affecting the brain over time.
Yeah. That's... so you mentioned also that now we're, you know, with some of the stem cell, you're saying that they're trying to take out some of the negative effects of some of these, like doing the modifying the genetics of.
So, you know, the possibilities with stem cells are, you know, infinite. I mean, this could be, you know, certainly for Parkinson's disease, could be where the cure comes from.
It almost happened. I mean, once these things get approved, just almost be there.
Well, you know, they've tried this before. They tried this maybe a decade ago. And what they did is they did the same sort of, you know, same sort of idea where they injected, you know, stem cells into the brains of people with Parkinson's disease. And so there's a couple problems, right? Anytime you go into the brain, you run the risk of infection or you know, stroke, or so it's very invasive. And what they found was that, you know, people improved quite a bit, in fact, but then they were reverting back to Parkinson's after a few years. So they were getting this major benefit, but then they were sort of reverting back to Parkinson's. And so now what they've done is they've, you know, genetic engineering has progressed to the point where we can remove some of this genetic material that might cause somebody to revert back to Parkinson's. And now that's what the new study is looking at with these, you know, genetically modified stem cells. You know, can they improve, you know, Parkinson's and lead to long-lasting improvement?
I mean, it just, amazing what they can do. I mean, you look at the advancement in some of these things, so many diseases, cancer.
Yeah.
And taking your own system and genetically modifying
personalized medicine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're getting closer to that for dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of that we should mention here in treatments available for dementia? Again, it sounds like the biggest deal is, I mean, we're talking about treatments, but the biggest issue is really... diagnosis and a proper diagnosis
early on.
The
earlier the better.
Well,
I think, you know, back to your point about artificial intelligence, this is really, really going to benefit the medical world. And what AI is able to do is just synthesize a tremendous amount of information. And the more there is collaboration between, you know, medical centers, you know, not just in, you know, certain regions, but across the globe, and the more information we have about these diseases, the better we're going to be able to diagnose and treat them. So I think this is one of the things that is leading to that exponential sort of increase in our understanding of these diseases and ultimately our treatment of them.
And probably the only thing really slowing it down even right now is, you know, you hear about Congress and, you know, we've got to control AI. And I think that is one of the things that breaks my heart more than anything else is that we develop something that can just influence positively mankind to such an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And yet other people will take the time to find some negative way to scam you or, I think that's, I think it was actually Walter Cronkite that even said, he made the statement that if we spent as much money and time and effort on medical technology as we do on developing weaponry to kill more people.
Yeah.
We'd be a lot better. But of course, you know, that's, I don't know if that's a fact of life or something that you can worry about when you get old.
I don't want to veer too far outside of my, you know, area of expertise, but I think there is some reason for concern about, you know, artificial intelligence. I mean, having a super intelligent, you know, entity or being, right?
That's,
I mean,
right.
I think, the concern is always been that, you know, like Terminator, right? That these things are going to build, these weapons or these, you know, robots that are going to come around and kill everyone. I don't think that's really a legitimate concern. I think the concern is the misinformation. And right, the information is the weapon. Mm-hmm. And so when there's so much misinformation being pumped out to people, right, it makes it a lot harder for humanity to get on the same page.
Yeah, even in the movies like 2001, you know, the bay door is open, Hal, you know. I hope they just get better voices for some of the robots. They're all so ominous, you know. Take a step outside, Hal, you know. Mentioned one of the things we talked about, you and I talked about earlier, that we've got a few minutes to finish up this episode. You mentioned some of the treatments that were not approved in the United States, but that were going on in like Mexico.
Oh, yeah. So this was a conversation earlier we had off air about stem cell treatments in Parkinson's disease.
Right.
And so, you know...
Oh, you mentioned Ed Begley, yes.
Yeah, he is promoting a stem cell treatment that he got in Mexico through an agency, I believe, called Stem Cell Therapies of America. But they use a different they use a different stem cell, and they use an infusion. So,
and you said it comes from umbilical cords.
Mesenchymal stem cells. And I don't think that there is really good enough evidence that this actually helps Parkinson's disease. I mean, I don't know how well these treatments, you know, cross the blood-brain barrier. So actually get into the brain and then can repair the brain. Mm-hmm. So the studies, you know, looking at these stem cell treatments in Parkinson's disease are going straight into the brain, bypassing all of that. So, you know, certainly these stem cells can help with inflammation. You know, they are approved for some things like osteoarthritis. But, you know, I would be a little bit dubious if, you know, one of my patients with Parkinson's asked me, you know, should I go down to Mexico and get this?
Yeah, I think that's,
I would be pretty cautious about that.
And, of course, since there's not the regulations that we have here, you know, good luck what you're getting.
Yeah.
Let's also talk just a little bit, because I think this is fascinating and also has an effect on even some of the drugs that we're talking about, is the placebo effect of drugs.
Yeah.
And when drug trials are given, such a high percentage of persons who would get, in like in a blind study, would get a sugar pill as opposed to the actual drug, and yet still.
Yeah, you know, I read somewhere that the effect of any medical treatment, 30% of that effect can be explained by placebo. And that's why the standard, you know, for these studies are double-blind placebo-controlled studies. So if I give you a pill and I say, this is going to improve your memory, and you trust me, Steve, so I'm giving you this pill, it's going to improve things. Well, guess what? You'll notice some improvement, especially if you're really, really looking for it. So, you know, how much of that can be explained just by the power of belief and the power of knowledge, right? And so, yeah, that's a good point.
Even in my area of education, there was a very unethical study that was given out with children in schools. And what they did was they told certain kids, you know, you're really smart. You're really going to do well in this class.
Yeah.
And they told other kids, you're, you know, I wouldn't look for a job in, you know, science. I mean, it was pretty much that way. And they found out that kids tended to live up to expectations.
Right.
And I think, and I find when I've been to a doctor, you know, you go in there and you have an ailment, or you have something that's not working right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go into the doctor and you get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you know, and he's looking at the chart and looking down at the chart and then looking at you. But you don't want to do that too many times. And really, one thing you really don't want your doctor to say is, oh, my God. You know, it is. I know when I've done that, and then the doctor says, well, all your tests are normal. You're not, but all your tests are.
There's a sense of relief that comes over you.
But it is, you know, and you get out of there, and I'll say to my wife, God, let's go out to lunch, or let's, you know, I mean, you feel, it's amazing how our mind plays, you know, tricks with us.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we like to separate, you know, things like, you know, cognition and mood and physical well-being, you know, especially as psychologists, we like to do that. But the brain treats it all kind of the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's all information.
And I, you know, I mentioned to you when we were talking to off mic here about the doctor that I had when I was in the hospital 50 years ago that was the best doctor I thought I'd ever had. And it turns out later he didn't have a medical degree. So it is a lot in your head. I really, one of the things that in us discussing this that I feel good about is I actually feel pretty hopeful that something, you know, you know, the things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And
I do too.
You know, and
as somebody who studies this stuff, right? I've been telling, you know, as many people who will listen, we're close. We're getting closer, and to be able to really reduce the burden on families and, you know, healthcare and, you know, all the things that dementia touches, which is everything.
Yes.
Right. Will lead
employment,
massively improve society.
Relationships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that from my perspective, being 75 and probably from Rick's, you know, we went through like a polio vaccine when there was no cure for polio. And all we saw was little donation things at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
you know, the March of Dimes. You put your dimes in there, and it had a picture of a kid in a giant iron lung.
Mm-hmm.
I remember traveling at that time with my mom because we had to go back and see my grandfather, and we took a train back to Colorado, and we were wearing masks.
Yeah.
I hardly remember that time, you know, but at that time, there was really no immediate hope for any mm-hmm. of this. And then, you know, Salt comes up with a kind of on a fluke a vaccine.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's where dementia is heading.
Yeah.
Something that we don't have to worry about so much anymore.
Well, let's hope that does happen. And we're going to have one more episode. And then we're going to talk to a person who is living with her husband who has dementia. And so I hope you come back and listen to that. And thank you, Brad. It's been great.
Thank you.
And thank you also, Rick. I couldn't do this without Rick. He is the godfather of the board.
Drive a Chevy 'cause he drove Chevys. Like him, I'm a baseball fan. I'm going back to see him while he still knows who I am.
This is Dr. Steve Nurse, and I want to thank everybody for listening to our series on dementia and Alzheimer's disease on Voice of Vashon, the Dynamo of Washington. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
While he still knows who I am. This time I'm gonna hug him instead of just shaking hands. Gonna tell him that I love him while he still knows.